Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I have got Fred Scheidenberger, Ashley Storm with me. Ashley's having some technical issues. I don't know what's going on, but I want to thank everybody for joining. Somebody's phone is loud because I'm hearing feedback. Oh, sorry. Can you hear us okay, Ash? I usually just turn it down. I've got it turned down and set to the side. So all I'm hearing. Oh, darn. Oh. Well, guys, as you can see, if you're on Facebook Live with us, I have Fred Scheidenberger, Ashley Storm, two of my first friends in the paranormal world, so to speak. So I'm really excited for this show. It's kind of, for me, it's getting back to basics, back to where it all started. Guys, thank you so much for joining. Ash, I know Ollie woke up and you were scrambling to get him back to sleep right before we started. Oh. So, well, let's start. Let's get this going. Ashley, let's start with you. How did Profoundly Paranormal come to be? So, but you also have a little twist and a little advantage, I guess, in investigating, because you have gifts, and you've had them since you were really little. So you would say that it does help you. I know I watched when you did the Bonnie and Clyde Museum, and I think that you did that right along the time that you and I first actually started talking. We actually met on live feeds from American Ghost Hunters, which now you are a part of as well. But I used to see you on the feeds, and like the things that I was getting, you would pop it into the chat. And I'm like, I have got to know her. I said, there's something just special about her. And I think I messaged you first when you went to the Bonnie and Clyde, and that's when we were picking up the same things, and you were like, you're exactly right, that's what I felt. And so we just formed a connection from there. And mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yep. Well, what sticks out to me is when I felt like we really connected is you were at the museum and you had taken out a dollar bill and laid it in the floor, and I could see Clyde trying to pick it up. And every time I'd see him go to pick it up, I'd see the dollar move. And I think I put in chat, like, he's trying to pick it up. And so, right. Yeah. Right. I mean, you can tell the difference. Right. You can tell the difference between, like, it just shifting because it's being blown or shifting because it's trying to be picked up. And I could see him, but I could also see that he was very protective of you while you were in the museum. And from there, you and I just, I mean, we talked all the time, and we did kind of lose touch. I mean, real life gets in the way. I mean, you had a baby and all, and, you know, I had some health issues. Yeah, so. No, Noah, actually, the funny thing is I've been so cautious about letting him go out. I did let him go up to our pool that we have in our community. He got strep throat. So he will not go to the pool anymore. But getting back to what we're talking about, it's so funny because I also met Fred on Paranormal Warehouse on Dan Norvell's feed. And I saw him a few times in American Ghost Hunter, but I really saw him. He stuck out to me in on Dan Norvell's feed, which is, what do you call him, the real OG? Yeah. And then from there, Fred and I formed a friend relationship or paranormal relationship, whatever you want to call it. And it's just so funny that a paraship, there you go. It's just so funny that American Ghost Hunters was really the start for me into watching paranormal on Facebook. And I just happened to Google paranormal, and that was the first thing to pop up. And I popped in there and watched it, and I became a fan of Alex and Daryl. And it's just so funny, or it's just so nice to see that I've watched you grow on Facebook from RU Network and Paranormal Warehouse and just all of the things that you do. So it's really a privilege for me to have formed these friendships and watch you grow from them. So I just want to give a shout out to, if nobody has watched Paranormal Warehouse, American Ghost Hunter show is coming back. It was on a bit of a break. Daryl Marston and, yeah, I know. Right. So, yeah, they all, Andy Weeble had a baby. Helena King, Alex's wife, had a baby. Ashley had a baby. So I wanted to stay very far away from all the water y'all were drinking because I just, that's right, half lizard people. But everybody has grown from, you know, Daryl, he left American Ghost Hunters for a while to go to TV and do the new Ghost Hunter show, which is pretty amazing. And I always think back to just sitting and watching him on my telephone on American Ghost Hunters, and now he's on TV. So, I mean, that's pretty exciting. But the growth that I've seen out of everybody is just amazing. Fred, I mean, we've been friends, going on 2 years now, I think? I hear him. What is wrong? I've never had this, and I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Oh, my God. And I'm just sitting here on Skype like I don't know what to do. Okay, somebody on Facebook said that they can hear you, Fred. So it must be on Ashley's end. Ashley, you're the... I wonder... Whatever. You're such a goof. So anyway, so Ashley, you're just going to hear me talk, unfortunately. So Fred and I met on, like I said, on Dan Norvell's, one of his feeds. And I happened to catch Fred. He's the lead investigator of Spirit Recon, and he's based in Wilmington, Illinois. I always want to say Indiana, but I know it's Illinois. I would pop off stuff in Dan's feeds, like what I could see and different things like that, and then I caught Fred live, and I was popping off stuff I could see, and then he messaged me, and we just started talking, and we just formed a friendship from there. Fred, why don't you tell, I'm sure everybody that knows, said you may have to listen to Facebook to hear Fred. Oh. Well, anyways, so Fred, tell us how Spirit Recon came to be.
That's where it all started for me. Now, the passion arrived once I got into my first paranormal experience, and I think that's where it instilled something in me that I felt like I had to dig further. I had to do more research with more people, and that's what kind of led me down this road.
Fred, I don't mean to be rude and interrupt you. However, the reason Ashley couldn't hear is, and I have to apologize to anybody listening on the Vibe Network. I had everybody, I had y'all muted. So. Oh my God, I am so sorry.
Way to pull Ashley, Melissa.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect any more out of this group.
Look, I have been so excited for this since last week. I've had this set up ready to go since like 7 o'clock. And I was like, okay, this is right, this is right. I got the show started, but I forgot to unmute y'all. So.
Okay, Melissa.
Bye, listeners. I'm so sorry. So very sorry. But you can catch the recap on Facebook Live.
You can catch the first 19 minutes.
Yes, sir.
But actually there's some very interesting things, so be sure to catch the recap either on the Vibe Network or on Facebook Live. I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I was listening to you, Fred, as I was laughing at my stupid. I am not very. I've got two laptops going and the phone. So.
She's on technology overload, y'all. Let me tell you, I can tell you this is very, very, very hard for both of us. We are not technologically inclined.
No.
Anyway,
neither am I.
Look, Noah,
you're better than us, brother. You're better than us. I'm so glad I can hear you now. I was like, he's being so freaking quiet tonight. It was so weird.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. But you guys are live now on everything. That's totally my fault. Totally my fault. Oh, my Lord. But anyway, so Fred, continue with how you got from... How did you get into like the paranormal shows, the paranormal warehouse, and Ashley?
I think it's something we kind of all have a wonderment about what's next in life or after this life's over. I think that's a common feeling we all have. I've had it since I was super young. So when these shows started coming out, they seem to give some answers to what might be next for us. But the problem is you question everything on TV, or at least I do. And so you just don't, I'm just not going to believe everything I see on TV. So I had to take and redo those steps by myself in a confined atmosphere to where I knew the answers were the same or were relevant. And like I said, my first experience, I started out at a local cemetery, and I lucked out in a very haunted situation. And I worked probably 3 to 4 months in the cemetery, getting EVPs, marking them, plotting them on a map, trying to find out what was going on, and was able actually to piece together. I actually found out about the deaths of two children that are hanging out in that cemetery. Still playing, which is cool. They're not in pain or anything. Still playing like they used to. That no human told me about their deaths. I actually learned it through EVPs and Googled it and found it myself from information that I'd received on EVPs. And I knew at that time that couldn't happen. It can't happen. It had to be real. Something had to be going on. And that led me into the further research.
And when you and I met, you were investigating the Historical Society in Wilmington. You you were working on a series about Rose, and then that's when you were actually at the Historical Society when I started watching you. I want to shout out to a few people that are in chat and have been so nice when I made my mess. Matt Waddell, hey, Matt, you always watch me, even when I'm just, like, testing to see if I can figure stuff out. Darren Buss, Tim Beard. Oh, we have Ashley Storm in chat.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
There's some others. Andrew, Bill Davis, Melissa Altman, Johan Reigns, Bill Davis again, John Jenner, Bill. If you're wondering why I can't type in chat from this, I don't know what I did. I was trying to figure it out the other night. I just gave up. So, but I want to shout out and thank you guys for taking a little bit and spending. These are two very interesting people that everybody should know. I'm sure everybody watching knows who y'all are, but it's still fun to hear about you. Let's see, what else do I mean, I pretty much know everything about, well, not everything, but like all the paranormal stuff about you guys. Let's see. Fred, what are you doing right now? Not right now, but like as far as the paranormal.
Well, as many people may know, or some may not, but I had some medical issues come up at the end of last year. I actually started in the summer, and luckily I've faced them, and I've got them hopefully at bay. But that
don't be modest. You kicked its fucking ass, okay?
Yep.
First and foremost, give yourself those props, please and thank you. You kicked its ass.
With my friend's help, she's right. We kicked cancer's ass, and but the truth of the matter is, guys, and I've shared this before. I'm nowhere back to full speed. I had to take some chemotherapy that still affects me to today. I feel like I'm back to 100%, but as I was talking to Melissa Altman there in chat just the other day, maybe yesterday. I think that's part of my frustration is I think up here I'm 100% and I should be 100%, but my body's not there yet. So I find myself after a few days not feeling up to par, and it gets frustrating, but I'm trying to be easy on myself. That being said, we all know that when we're not up to 100%, we usually don't venture out into the paranormal world. I don't. It's just, well, and the virus hasn't helped anything either with the locations and the seriousness of that. So really all the spirit recon, I've been going through my old data, understanding more what I have captured and looking for answers. I'm on to the next step. Not only do we capture stuff, I want to know why we're capturing it. I want to know what makes those EVPs. I want to know what sets off the periscope. I want to know what sets off the K2. What are these ghosts made of? What are they talking through? How's these vibrations being picked up through this machine? So I've done a lot of homework over the last year, but we haven't been on the ground with our boots on the ground, so to speak. But that's getting ready to change.
Where are you going? But
the homework is a big part of it, though.
Do what?
The homework is a huge part of it.
It is.
So getting that done so thoroughly and having the time, you know, to just sit back and take it on, especially with how in-depth you get. You are just like how I am with the history thing. Like, we got to know every little bit, and we will do anything we can to figure it out. So I'm glad that you had that time and that it wasn't just, you know, filled with stuff that doesn't make you happy. You at least got to do that while you're taking it easy.
I still watch you and the other paranormal investigators. I learn. I watch every show I can and get into every chat I can and learn from everybody. That's what we all do. And that's this friendship, this shows right here, the paranormal world can bring three people together. You and I have helped each other, Ashley, on many of things and helped each other grow. Melissa and I have worked together as far as validation. I was able to get her some validation and she was able to give me some validation. And you two have worked together like you guys talked about the first 19 minutes that nobody heard. But so So, yeah, I know. Hey. So it just goes to show these are important. These are, I mean, your friendship, you two's friendship means the world to me, whether it's paranormal or not. I always will reach out and be friends with you. But it helps us grow as paranormal investigators. I can learn so much. I've learned from Melissa and I've learned from you. And I think both of you have learned from me.
Definitely.
So it's a sharing community. When we stop that, I'm glad it's not a community. I thought it was going to be like that. I thought it was going to be put out a video, evidence, hide it from everybody, don't want anybody. It's not. It's not a secluded game that we're in here. And I love that part of it.
And I actually make that point a lot with, you know, our group of friends, because everybody can say para-unity as much as you want, but you know that a lot of people use it just to justify the ends to their means.
Right.
The means to their ends. It's just, it's insanity that we don't just call it humanity. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of whether or not it's the paranormal field or not, like in any field, we should just all be working together. And Brandon Johnson and I had that conversation today. You know, if we were, had just all been working together and being a collective rather than working against each other so much and it being a me show, we would be so much farther along in the field. And we wonder why people don't take us seriously.
Right.
It's very simple. And it goes farther than just being friends, like you said, in the paranormal. You guys are like family to me.
We talk all the time.
You guys were there for all of the big things in my life, especially, you know, the biggest one. And it's not just you guys. And I bring up the point that we are the only group of people I know that shares other group stuff. Everybody has access to my page. If you're like in my circle because I trust you enough that you won't just go crazy on my pages, you have access to my pages to post whatever you want. Everybody on RU Media Network, even though I'm not there anymore, still has access. They still share all their stuff because it's about getting the message out there as a whole. If everybody's just listening to my voice, what are they getting? It has to be everybody's collective voice together. And if we're just sharing our evidence and our stuff, then I don't understand the point of that, to be the only one to be seen.
Well, for me, I watch everybody. I mean, well, Dan Norvell's not on, but I still watch everybody. I share everybody's stuff. I don't agree with everybody, but I still have a mutual respect for them and the work that they put in. I mean, I got to talking with George Shoplin about this. You know, you watch these shows where they're edited, and when they catch evidence, you know, it's like bam, bam, bam. My first ghost hunt was at the cabin on 360, and I don't want it to sound wrong, but ghost hunting isn't boring until you get that evidence or until something happens. So for me, that was a huge shock because I had watched Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, and there was another one, they were in the mine. I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, they were getting evidence left and right, and I'm like, damn, that's exciting. What a rush. And then I'm sitting at the cabin at 360, and I'm like, God, this is like rubbing paint dry. But then you get activity, and then there's the excitement. So like I said, I try to take something away from every feed that I watch, whether I agree, whether I disagree, but I always try to take something so it's not a waste of an hour or 2 hours. You know, now when people start getting really technical, like Justin Brown, like, oh, there's baby Ollie.
Oh, no. You'll get him in a second. My baby.
Go get him.
No, you want to see him? Okay, I'll take him for a second. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Okay. But Justin Brown, he is like a tech genius. He is very smart. Hey, Karma.
Awesome.
So I enjoy watching him and Jessica, Missy, Josh Bender. But they are just like, I am in awe at how smart they are. So...
Well, they've done this for a while, and that it shows. It shows. Here's we're going to see the baby.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Ollie.
Yes, Ollie. Hey, baby boy.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, baby boy. Tell a guy you can see dead people, they kind of lose interest at that point, unless they're involved in the paranormal, but it's not something I want to hide. So you guys are definitely a very unique bunch of people, I guess, for better words. And
it's like a safe place.
Yes. When
being
I found
amongst people who are like-minded like that.
When I found Ashley and I could talk to her about all of this, it was like the heavens opened up and the angels started singing, because if you don't, like me trying to explain it to you, Fred, when we were at St. Albans and I could see this and I could see shadow people like on the ceilings, on the walls, it's one thing to explain it, but you don't really fully understand the depth unless you see it.
Right.
And, I mean, you were great, but, like, you're the only one there that can see it. So it's
you don't understand. People don't understand the emotional, like, implications that come with it, because you feel like you're fucking crazy. You feel like you're absolutely batshit insane, and, like, if you tell anybody, you're going to get locked up and thrown away. Like, it's incredibly surreal to have literally an entire community that not only understands that part that you hid and that you were just terrified of for so long, but they help you
mm-hmm.
grow with it. Like, if I didn't have Catherine, like I said, Catherine, oh my gosh, I've learned so much shit about myself. Like, I always knew I was magical as hell, but I didn't know I was, like actually magical. You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually have abilities and powers like the way that I do. And it's insane. I just, from Madison Seminary, I got to send you guys a screenshot from this. It's insane. I just basically solved, like, an 80, 90-year-old case at Madison Seminary from a picture that Denise posted from when they were just walking around in the building. And to the point where I've tuned my ability so much that when she was coming through to me the next day, I was getting flashes of Kimmel at Madison Seminary and told Denise, like, hey, I see him there. I see him. And she texts him, and she's like, I said, it happened 10 minutes ago. I was washing dishes and finished up and then messaged you. And she texts him. She goes, he said he just got there 10 minutes ago. And I said, I see him standing in the garden like 30 minutes later. And she goes, he was just outside. Like, I'm seeing him active. It's insane what you can do when you hone this and you have people to help you with that journey. It's beautiful. Instead of hiding it, I'm like, yeah. Fuck yeah. I can do spooky stuff. Let's do it.
Well, I need a hex spell, and I can get with you after your show.
who are you going to use that on, Melissa?
Not you.
Do tell.
But hey, somebody who did me wrong, and I'm just not the kind of person that can wait for karma. But I will get with you, Ashley, about that.
They better watch out.
Huh?
They better watch out, huh?
I told him, I was like, I know people, and he took it, he laughed at me, so anyway. So
who are you talking about, Andrew?
I think you.
We're both looking, like.
I know.
I can't, I need glasses so fucking bad. I feel so bad on my live shows and my podcasts when they're typing. I'm like, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm trying to keep up, but I can't see nothing.
I'm too vain. I wear my glasses at work because I have to. But guys in Better Chat and Chat, Bill Davis and Tim, I'm actually from Lynchburg, Virginia. Probably don't know where that is, but that's where I'm from. I'm not ignoring you. I just did something to StreamYard and I cannot type. Oh, you know, I know what you're talking about. He's talking about me.
Because I was like, I didn't really ever interact on the Ghost Hunter Dan page, because it was like when I first was, I just kind of sat there and watched and never really did anything, because I figured he was talking about you. I was more on the American Ghost Hunter show being like, hey.
I'll tell this story really quick. They were investigating at a school that was turned into a haunted house, and like I was all the time, I was just in the chat. And I could see things. So I was just kind of throwing it in chat. It was probably 10 or 15 others. And I hit on something that one of the investigators that was with them, he had seen the same thing, and I described it to a T, and it kind of freaked him out. Hey, Brad Cooney. Thanks for joining. Everybody say hi to Brad.
Hey, Brad.
So, that was, at that point, I was freaking out because I had freaked someone else out, and I called Dan, like, on Facebook Messenger. I've never done that because that's creepy, but I was really concerned because that upset somebody. But so Dan called, and he talked me through it, and, so I do know what Andrew's talking about. And I've done work for Fred.
We actually met after that night. I was on live with that same evening, and I saw that all happen. And actually, somebody wouldn't respond in chat, and I didn't realize that Dan was trying. They were trying to protect the guy that was to make sure that he wasn't going to have a. He was having a hard time processing everything, and then when you said what you said, it kind of overwhelmed him. And I put in chat something and. It kind of got ignored, then I realized I probably should have said it, but I contacted you after that show, and that's when I said, hey, I've got some personal things I'm working on. Can you read for me at the Historical Society and a couple other places? And then that's when we went into, and Melissa, I will always stand behind you. Mike Murphy, if he's down in chat, he knows that we talked about last night after we did, or two nights ago, but I brought you into the Historical Society. I brought you into every place cold. I never gave you any information about the buildings, the people, the spirits. I had studied these locations for 2 years. I got a stack. I can't reach it, but I got a stack of notebooks this big, just page after page of EVPs and what we do and everything that we've ever captured. And you started seeing and naming things that I already had listed in my logs. My mouth just dropped open. I was like, holy crap. I mean, it was really my first experience. I had worked with Mary Marshall before, and she had done some of the same stuff, but not to the extent that you had. You were able to see multiple spirits. I was able to validate multiple things, and in turn, you were validating me. So I think it's, if I could say something about the use of mediums, a good investigator can use that to his advantage and help the media. I mean, I've helped so many people validate themselves and get them, just like you, Melissa, where they're not so frightened to talk about it, not so don't keep it inside all the time. So that's been a beautiful part of this, too. I never realized that my data would actually set somebody else's mind free, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm happy for that.
Well, I did. I won't go into details because it's kind of personal. I did something for a friend of Fred's in Indiana, and I actually, do you remember I called you the next day? I was freaking out. This person, I knew where
I was.
Text
from you when you'd get like a new little ability or something was hilarious. She's like, this is happening. Is this normal? And I'm like, well, I mean, for normal people, no, but for us, you're getting better at it. You're honing it. It's perfectly fine. But I remember your what the fuck moment.
So what had happened was I was doing a reading for a friend of Fred's, and somebody came. I knew where I was. I could see where I was, but what the words were not mine. And even Fred said my voice sounded, it was different. And I couldn't remember anything of what I said. And, I mean, I normally get drained when I do a read or, just in somewhere haunted, just because the spirits will drain you. And I was like, for 2 days, Fred kept checking on me, Mike, and I'm trying to get Ashley. And I think you were still teaching and you were really busy. And I was like, oh, my God, I need to talk to you. I was like, what do I do? I was like, how did that happen? And it did kind of scare me when you lose control of your – I didn't lose control of myself, but I was not – somebody else was
somebody else channeled
speaking.
Through you.
When
yeah.
you channel, when
yeah.
that direct channeling yeah. and what's even – oh, man. When they do it without, like, your permission – which is all the time when you don't know how to control it in the beginning, which is all the time when you have multiple ones trying to channel you. And even though they stay after we're gone, or even when we do it remotely, it happens a lot when you do remote viewing, that energy doesn't leave your body for, like, days. it's still like a part of you. It's so weird.
It is. And investigations can be like that too, because the energy you pick up on the investigation is the same energy. It just depends how you guys take it in a little different, or we're not able to, or don't understand how to yet. But we still, I was talking to, I think, Melissa Altman there in chat, and I'm sorry if I'm giving up all your stories, Melissa, but she came off of a big investigation, her whole body tingling the next morning. And that's because that energy still, even if they're not attached to you, that energy transfer is, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel it.
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't know how it happened. I didn't know why it happened. I was a little terrified that something was able to, like, come through me and speak. And what was said was dead on. I mean, it was, they were having a conversation. They thought with me, but I didn't remember anything that was said. So it was just... And my first phone call, I'm sitting here and like, Ashley, answer your phone. I got to talk to you. But it was definitely a unique experience.
It was.
Being able to do it, though, with the person directly that message is for, because there are so many times and locations that the person of the message they want, the receiver of that message they're trying to send is either passed away. You can't find them. You know what I'm saying? There's no one there directly. I think you guys both watched the Islanios thing where I did the direct channeling session for Bill and Louise.
Yep.
That was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had in my life. And people have to understand that, like, spirits, especially if they don't have enough energy or anything, they give you flashes of things. It's like a scrambled message. You have to try and put it together. It makes no sense sometimes, but if you just let them know what you're seeing and what you're feeling from them, the person that is receiving that message can fill in those blanks for you that way, and it makes it so much more personal. I cried for at least like 3 days after that session because I still felt all of that love. And I mean, you guys saw how emotional I got towards the end. She just wanted to hug him, and I literally felt like her. And I was like, this is really weird. I don't know this dude, and I just don't want to go up to him and randomly squeeze him. But Mr. Bill's like an amazing dude. I love him to death. Our families have known each other for a very long time, but it was just, you know, professional. Like, I don't want to go up and squeeze you, but she wanted to so bad, and I carried that with me for days afterwards. It's so much more intense when you have that person directly in front of you to deliver that message to. It's and more gratifying, honestly, because you get it out to the right person, and then you get that story told and give that person peace by being able to do so.
And what a beautiful thing, the opportunity we have, and I know we all respect it because I know us three, I know you two real well. What a beautiful thing we have to interact with these spirits and to be a part, help to, it's amazing. I'm getting goosebumps saying it. I mean, it's amazing to be able to interact and tell their stories and to bring it back to life. We bring them back into this realm. They help us with that realm. We bring them back into this realm. And I know they appreciate it. I've heard thank yous, and you guys know from your experiences. Looks like we have a question in chat there. Ashley, you want to take that?
Karma Wild wants to know, what advice would you give to someone who is surrounded by ghosts and other things but cannot communicate with them?
That's a loaded question because depending on what it is around you, I mean, I have people reach out all the time and like, my daughter is saying she sees this, that, and the third, and so how do I talk to them? I'm like, don't. Do not acknowledge it because you have no idea what you're interacting with. Especially if they say it's family members and stuff, that's tricky because you guys have to remember that it's not necessarily always demonic when they mimic somebody else or try and act like they're somebody else. So bad spirits, human spirits, will do the same exact thing. They will try and trick you. Let them stay in your home basically unharmed and undealt with until stuff gets worse. If you can feel the energy, you can't necessarily communicate with it, but you can sense whether it's bad or good. If you're curious enough and you think that, I guess you're responsible enough to handle it, because curiosity is what got us all into it. You know what I'm saying? I can't say don't talk. If you're really that curious about it, just make sure you're responsible and make sure that you use your gut. Listen to your stomach and your heart more than anything. You can feel if you focus enough, no matter who you are, abilities or not, you can feel if what's around you is meaning to do you harm or if it's just a very light, not necessarily safe, sometimes safe. I can see them in the video cameras. They're everywhere I go. So you can see them, but you can't talk to them, is what you're saying, that you actually see these ghosts.
I think so.
Bye, Andrew. I love you.
Good night, Andrew. We love you, too. So for me, what I would say is because I was very hesitant, like, to talk about it with just ordinary people, the more everybody has abilities. You just have to be open to them. I would blow things off that now I don't. I know that it's something there. The bad ones stay outside. I would say just be sure you're protected. Sage, say a prayer, things like that. But for me, the more I used it or the more I watched the live feeds on Paranormal Warehouse, the better the stronger my abilities became. So it is a tool, and everybody has the ability. I even told Fred when we first met, I said, "You have abilities." He's like, "No, I don't." I was like, "Yeah, you do. Yes, you do." And he's like,
yeah.
He's like, "No, I don't." I was like, "Fred, trust me, you do. I can feel it." It's like we can pick each other out, but just be careful.
Well, that's the thing, is I think everyone has it. Everyone has it to an extent, and it's just how far you're willing to go to let it be open.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
has it. That's why kids are that's why kids see it all the time and experience things more intensely than we do.
And you got to learn to open up. We learn as we shut down because I can't believe I went 40 some years and it was all closed up. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I start those experiences and I practice opening up, that's all I did was practice opening up with the spirits. And then this came to me. Back to the lady's question, though, or gentleman Karma's question. It's interesting because that's why we don't do residential. It's very personal when you're living there and you got kids and family there. Like Ashley said, you better be prepared and you better be responsible for your actions if you walk into a residential property or you decide to investigate your own home. Because you got to deal with that. We've been lucky enough to do all our research on commercial properties or vacant properties, and it's a blessing.
Hang tight, real guys. I got to end my show on the Vibe Network, but Karma still has some more questions. So, guys, I'm going to end it right here on Vibe. Join Wendy Young. She's coming up next with Night Vision. She has Blackbeard on. I will be on next Wednesday. Until then, I hope you all have a fantastic week.